Hello, this is Terry Burdick reading to you from the Danville Commercial News, the weekend edition for July 4th and 5th. Happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day, happy 250 America to all of you. I hope you had a really great time with your families and your neighbors and friends. Let's start today on the first page with probably something that we just described. It's the headline, Patriotic Property. This comes to us from Vermilion Grove. Be patriotic is something that everyone thinks about during holidays like Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Veterans Day. Daniel McIntyre of Vermilion Garden shows off his red, white, and blue spirit nearly every day during the spring, summer, and fall months. There are more than 300 flags, mostly American, but with a few others dedicated to first responders and military branches. I try to get them all up before Memorial Day, and I leave them up until Veterans Day, said McIntyre, who served in the military from 1965 to 1968. His explanation for why he does it every year, our country is the best in the world. And then they showed several pictures of all of the more than 300 flags on his property. It's really quite the sight. If you're in the Vermilion Grove area, it would be worth a drive by. Again, happy Independence Day, America. More news on our front page has to do with the heat wave that we're seeing this summer. And I'm sure that just because we've gotten a little bit of a break in the heat, that it'll be back. FBI discusses Operation Summer Heat. This comes to us from commercial news reporter Christy Jankowski. The Federal Bureau of Investigation announces it will be conducting an operation this summer targeting violent crime, drug trafficking, and child offenses. Well, I have to apologize. I thought that headline was going to talk about actual summer heat, but this is a different kind of summer heat. Let's start again. This is the heat of criminal activity in our communities. The Federal Bureau of Investigation announces it will be conducting an operation this summer targeting violent crime, drug trafficking, and child offenses. The FBI conducted Operation Summer Heat in 2025, leading to almost 8,600 arrests, over 2,300 firearms seized, and over 45,000 kilograms of illegal narcotics. Based on the success of that initial operation, the FBI launched Operation Summer Heat 2.0, said Ryan Presley, special agent with the FBI, the focus of which is very much the same. And while I don't have any statistics for you yet, because that operation is really only 2 to 3 weeks old at this point, we can tell you that it's been equally effective, if not more so. Presley says operations like Summer Heat 2.0 cannot happen without the aid of local law enforcement. While we led the operation, it was wholly dependent upon the relationships that we have with our local and state partners, Presley added. Without them, none of these results could have been able to have been achieved. As for how to protect your children from predators, unfortunately, that is a reality that we as parents have to contend with, and we need to obviously take a concerted effort in protecting our children, Presley said. I think it first starts with engagement at home and having those conversations, you know. And when things seem off, or if you have information that you think may be indicative of some sort of targeting of your children, Presley says if you become aware of inappropriate conversations, reach out to law enforcement or the FBI. Feel comfortable that you have a full knowledge of what platforms your children are active on, Presley said. In terms of posting content about your children or your family, you always want to be selective and judicious in the type of imagery or content that you post online. Be mindful of things that identify them, you know, personally, in terms of not only themselves of individuals, but also locations and that sorts of things. You just need to be careful about putting that stuff out there. Jake Griffin, FBI Special Agent with Public Affairs, said recently the Bureau met with a social media representative on suggestions to keep kids safe. They suggested that parents make sure their kids are using the Like Teen accounts and that they've been showed exactly the restrictions of what those teen accounts provide for compared to like an adult account, Griffin said. It lets the kids use the app and they talk to their friends, but it certainly restricts them from speaking to maybe adults they don't know. So they ask us to spread the word to parents saying, hey, make sure the account that your child is signing up for is definitely the teen account. And with artificial intelligence becoming easier to use, Presley said there has been an increased incidence of predators using AI to target children through sextortion and other illegal means. Kids being glued to their devices and being afraid of parents kind of looking at what's going on. Sometimes there's some self-abuse, so like wearing clothes that are un- seasonably dry. They're trying to make up some, cover up some marks or stuff like that, Presley said, and pulling away from activities that they normally would be doing. I know we're in the summer now, so it's not that obvious, but if they were at school, quitting clubs, not doing as well, not talking, kind of dropping friendships, these can all be subtle hints that something's going on. Presley says there's good news with violent crime numbers decreasing. I think you'll find that when you look at crime data, you'll see the overall violent crime is down from last year, he said. Specifically, I'm talking about things like aggravated assaults, homicides, rapes, and so on and so forth. He added those numbers include drops in burglary, larceny, and general thefts. I will tell you there's been an increase in drug arrests, but along with that, there's also been an increase in closure of those investigations, Presley said. I think that it's directly attributable to a lot of the law enforcement activity in the Danville area, specifically on the part of the FBI, and probably more importantly, on the part of our partners that are out there working the streets every day. Both agents say that if an individual has something to report, but they're afraid of someone finding out, call the FBI. We'd be happy to look at all the tips, no matter how big or small, to see if they fit into that operation and present us with an opportunity to help protect the community, Presley says. In other front page news, teacher faces criminal sexual abuse charges, and this too comes to us from reporter Christy Jankowski. Dateline Danville. A 27-year-old man involved with teaching high school and community theater is facing four counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Danville Police Deputy Chief Doug Miller said Jordan Ritchie was taken into custody as part of an ongoing criminal investigation. Danville District 118 Superintendent John Hart released a statement to parents via email. The district administration received an allegation of inappropriate conduct regarding Jordan Ritchie, a teacher at Danville High School, Hart wrote. The district administration immediately reported the allegations to the Danville Police Department, which opened an investigation into the allegations. Hart said police officials asked the district to refrain from commenting on this matter so as not to interfere with a pending law enforcement investigation. Ritchie was directed not to report to work after the district learned of the allegations, but the district has not provided a timeline. We understand that this news is concerning, Hart said. The district is committed to protecting and ensuring the safety of our learning community and the well-being of our students. As such, the district conducts fingerprint-based criminal background checks and cross-references state and national sexual and violent offender registries as a part of our pre-employment process. Hart added, all staff members are mandated reporters to the Illinois Department of Child and Family Services and said if a parent or student has any relevant information to the investigation, to report it to the police. Ritchie was also involved with DLO Music Theater and set to direct Sweeney Todd's School Edition, set to debut according to a past social media post on July 26th through the 28th. Organizers with DLO said that after receiving a notification from the police, Ritchie was removed from the organization immediately by their executive committee. They also did not provide a timeline. At the request of the Danville Police Department, we made no public comment or acknowledgement of those allegations at that time so as not to interfere with an ongoing investigation, they wrote on Facebook. DLO Musical Theater's number one priority is the safety and protection of all of our cast members and volunteers, particularly the children. The organization added that there are measures in place to protect children. As a result, we are constantly reviewing and refining the guidelines and procedures that our volunteers must comply with, they said. Currently, background checks are executed on all volunteers that work with children. We provide a space for open rehearsals that any parent can attend, and there are multiple avenues of communication that a cast member can use to register concerns and complaints. The Danville Police Department said there is no other information they can reveal at this time, or it may jeopardize the investigation. This case is still considered an ongoing investigation, and releasing the report could jeopardize the investigation, said Danville Police FOIA Administrator Bill Westphal. Also, the Vermilion County State's Attorney's Office must still decide if they're going to prosecute the case. Anyone with information related to this investigation is encouraged to contact the police at the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250, or report it to a tip to Vermilion County Crime Stoppers anonymously online at vccrimestoppers.org using the mobile app P3 Tips, or you can call 217-446-TIPS, which is 8447, to report information as well to Vermilion County Crime Stoppers. Continuing news around the community, DAC launches 80th anniversary celebration with a commemorative logo. The Danville Area Community College announces the launch of its year-long 80th anniversary celebration. According to a release from the school, beginning Wednesday, July 1st, a special commemorative logo will honor 8 decades of educational excellence, community service, and student success. The logo features the number 80, integrated with DAC's iconic clock tower design, symbolizing the college's rich history and enduring impact on Vermilion County and the surrounding region. The logo will be used through May 30th of 2027. Reaching 80 years is a remarkable achievement for any institution, said DAC President Dr. Randall Fletcher. This anniversary gives us an opportunity to celebrate our history, to recognize those who helped build this college, and to focus on the forward to the future as we continue serving students and our community. The anniversary logo will temporarily replace the college's traditional logo throughout the celebration year. The official anniversary date is September 16th, marking 80 years since the first day of classes at Danville Junior College. To commemorate the occasion, DAC will host 2 special events on that day. The first will be a campus-wide celebration featuring a cookout on the quad with music, games, activities, and prizes for students, faculty, and staff. The event will provide an opportunity for the college community to come together and celebrate DAC's legacy of learning and service. Later that evening, DAC will host its 3rd annual Founders Day celebration, honoring 4 individuals whose contributions have helped shape the success and growth of the college throughout its history. The anniversary theme, 80 Years of Learning, Growth, and Legacy, reflects the college's commitment to empowering students while honoring the generations of faculty, staff, alumni, and community members who've contributed to its success. Additional anniversary activities, historical features, alumni stories, and special events will be announced throughout the year. For more information about the 80th anniversary celebration, visit DAC's website and social media channels. With news around our region, Salt Fork earns FFA recognition. This comes to us from Springfield. 27 members of the Salt Fork FFA chapter attended the 98th annual Illinois State FFA convention held June 9th through 11th in Springfield. More than 8,000 FFA members, advisors, and guests from across Illinois gathered for the 3-day event, which celebrated student achievement, leadership development, and agricultural education under the theme Sparking Your Future. Salt Fork FFA members were recognized with numerous state honors during the convention, highlighting the chapter's continued excellence in leadership, community service, agricultural education, and student achievement. 3 Salt Fork FFA members earned the prestigious Illinois State FFA degree, the highest degree awarded by the Illinois Association FFA. Isaac Bemis, Braxton Clem, and Anna McCollum received the honor for their outstanding Supervised Agriculture Experience SAE program, leadership involvement, academic achievement, and commitment to FFA. Anna McCollum was also installed as the 2026-2027 Section 18 President, joining the Illinois FFA State Officer Team as one of 25 Section Presidents. In addition, McCollum was recognized as a top 10 chapter president in Illinois for her leadership and service to the Salt Fork FFA chapter. The chapter received several honors through the National Chapter Award Program. Salt Fork FFA was named the section winner in Growing Leaders, recognizing programs that develop students' leadership and life skills. The chapter also earned the section winner award in Building Communities, which recognizes partnerships and service projects that improve local communities, where they placed 6th out of 406 chapters in the state. Salt Fork FFA was further recognized as the section winner in Strengthening Agriculture. This award honors chapters that promote agricultural literacy, member involvement, financial responsibility, and positive public relations within the agricultural industry. Caitlin Woodard, was named one of Illinois' top 10 chapter reporters for her outstanding efforts in communicating chapter activities through social media, local news outlets, and chapter publications. In the Illinois FFA AgriScience Fair, Lainey Ayler and Lucy Dieth were recognized as one of the top 2 all-women research teams in the state. Their achievement earned each student a $250 scholarship sponsored by Illinois AgriWomen. The chapter was also named the state premier chapter award section winner and ranked 11th overall in Illinois out of 403 schools. This award is presented to the chapter earning the highest overall score within its section on the National Chapter Award application. One of the chapter's most significant accomplishments was being named a National Chapter Award finalist. Salt Fork FFA will represent Illinois and compete for national honors at the National FFA Convention this fall in Indianapolis. In addition to the chapter awards, Salt Fork's FFA's Green Hand Quiz Bowl team earned a fifth place finish at the state. We are increasingly proud of our members and the way they represent Salt Fork FFA and our community at the state convention, said advisor Stacy Rickard. These accomplishments reflect the hard work, dedication, and passion our students bring to agricultural education every day. Well, congratulations, Salt Fork FFA members. Normally, we would take a break here at the midpoint of our time together to take a peek at the death notices that were recorded as of Friday at 5 p.m., but this week we have none to share. So we will be certain that those things will be coming in future reads during the upcoming week. But with that, we'll continue on with other local news. Let's take a little bit of a turn and with our attention and take a peek at what's going on in the editorial section today. I knew there'd be something about the July 4th holiday, so the editorial title is Happy Birthday, America. July 4th marks the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. John Adams, one of the signers who eventually became the second president of the United States, predicted future generations would celebrate the day with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations, aka fireworks, from one end of this continent to the other. Adams had no clue just how accurate his prediction would prove to be. The document that let King George III know his colonies no longer wanted to remain under his rule has served as an inspiration to Americans ever since. We hold these truths to be self-evident, the Declaration reads, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It goes on to assert that in order to enjoy these rights, people can create a new government when the existing one fails to meet their needs. These were radical concepts for 1776 and remain so to leaders who would rather force their view on the world upon them, those they govern, rather than follow the wishes of the people. The Declaration says the people hold the power, not the leaders, and the people have the right to alter or abolish any government that ignores the wishes of the majority. The men who put their lives on the line by signing the Declaration of Independence didn't consider everyone as created equal. Of the 56 who signed the Declaration, 41 owned other humans as slaves. It would be almost another 100 years before slavery would end. Women had little to no legal status, and Native Americans were considered savages. These men recognized the contradictions, but pushed the issues into the future. In the context of the time, the Declaration of Independence was a radical departure from the accepted society. Their signing, however, created the foundation for a nation where people could build their own success. Through the years, more and more Americans could see a door of opportunity opening for them. Has America achieved the dreams the signers had 250 years ago? In many ways, yes. A person's own talent and willingness to work still plays a significant part in his or her success. People still may worship as they please, or not worship, without the government taking on a role of supporting one belief over others. Citizens still may gather to present grievances to elected leaders and to criticize those leaders. There are, however, wedges being driven between Americans that could, left unchecked, cause the nation that came into being 250 years ago to split. The disappearing sense of community drives us to seek those who think like us and ignore others. Today's social media makes it easy to wrap ourselves only in opinions we want to hear. Compromise, especially among our legislative bodies, has disappeared. This us versus them mentality serves no one well. Americans still have the ability to change all of that. The ballot remains the most effective tool available to every American citizen age 18 and older. Like the way things are, great, go vote and support it. Want to see changes? Wonderful, be sure to visit a polling place on election day. That's the real power of the Declaration of Independence. People guide the course of the nation. We'll all honor America's birthday on July 4th, just as Adams predicted, with parades, fireworks, and celebrations. But the best way to honor the promise of those unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, is to register to vote and cast a ballot on every election day. Happy birthday, America! We also have a patriotically themed column today from Kevin Cullen, the Irish hiker. We haven't heard from him for a while, so let's see what he has to say. His column title, Decluttering Within Reason. Try as I might, I can't get overly enthused about America's 250th birthday to be marked today. The release of the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776 certainly was a cause for celebration. So was the centennial, July 4, 1876. So was the bicentennial, July 4, 1776. Who could forget that? If the 50th anniversary was on July 4, 1826, or the 150th anniversary on July 4, 1926 was a huge deal, I never read or heard anything about it. That makes me think that the 250th anniversary, though surely worth noting, is not especially different than any other 4th of July. That's just me. Others, including the president and every flag and firecracker manufacturer, would disagree. Let me report, then, on my love affair with a total stranger. Her name is Taryn Maria. I have never met Taryn, seen Taryn, or spoken with Taryn, but I'm crazy about her. Taryn, you see, recently wrote an article for a website whose address title is www.thesimplifydaily.com. TheSimplifyDaily.com. Its stated focus is frugal creative living. There you find articles on such things as homemade cleaning solutions, reusing prescription pill bottles, converting a water bottle into a mini greenhouse, and 21 household uses for WD-40. Many home improvement articles these days focus on decluttering. That is, donating, discarding, or gifting non-essentials. The goal, I guess, is to create a nice, clean, sterile environment where you can contemplate your navel or eat rice, preferably using reusable chopsticks. Taryn, however, geared her report of 12 things that you should never get rid of. She's my kind of woman. To me, a house is a sort of personal museum, each unique and filled with the things that we like to live with, preserve, stash for a rainy day, or help us remember. A few of the things on Taryn's list are obvious. For instance, paper products. Would anyone throw away unused paper towels? Reserve linens, which will eventually be needed. And items that aren't yours, which can be dangerous to discard, especially if the lender is a muscular guy who lent you his favorite crescent wrench in 2015 and wants it back. My attention, and the reason for my attraction to Taryn, focused on other things on her list. Number one, infrequently used items. Just because something only gets used once a year doesn't mean it's clutter, she writes, mentioning such things as turkey roasting pans and gravy boats. Store them somewhere else, like the basement instead of the kitchen. I have tons of infrequently used items that aren't going anywhere. I'm thinking about my railroad jacks, capable of lifting loaded boxcars, winter clothes and wool blankets that haven't warmed a soul in 25 years, and books that I read once and are now waiting patiently, silently, for my return. Two, historical photos. Don't feel pressured to keep all your photos, but definitely don't get rid of them all either. There's something special about holding an old photograph of a family member, Taryn says. I'm the family archivist, so to speak, so I can show other family members some rare surviving images, photographic and artistic, of various ancestors, some of whom were born in the 1700s. I'm always a little breathtaking to think about my great-grandparents are the great-great-great-grandparents of our grandchildren, and that my grandmothers remembered quite vividly grandparents born in the 1820s. Solid wood and vintage furniture. Furniture just isn't made the way it used to be, Taryn says, stating one of the great understatements of our time. I don't buy fast furniture. I preferred solid wood, quality pieces. I found a gorgeous dresser on Facebook Marketplace for just $40. If you've got vintage furniture that's all functional and beautiful, hold on to it. I hear you, Taryn. For less than the cost of cheaply made, stapled together chipboard junk, anyone can buy solid oak, solid walnut, solid cherry, and solid maple tables, chairs, desks, and bookcases. They're beautiful, timeless, and high quality. We keep our canned goods in a handmade walnut jelly cupboard circa 1850 that I bought for $25. In our dining room is a five-legged oak table from about 1900, which we got for $50 in 1982. The parlor table in the living room, hand-carved walnut with brown marble top, cost $100. We'll never get rid of my grandmother Cullen's mahogany dresser or the ladder-back chair that my great-great-grandparents received as a wedding gift in 1856. You don't have to get rid of everything just to live clutter-free, Taryn says. If you love something and it brings you joy, keep it. We need more people like Taryn Maria. I bet she appreciates old buildings, too. Well, if Kevin Cullen's column today hit a nerve with you or spark some joy, go ahead and drop him an email. His email address is irishhiker@aol.com. For those of you, one of the columns I never read online with you all is kind of the is a Dear Annie column, and it's a kind of a Dear Abby for those of you that may be familiar with that reference. But it's where people can write in situations, family situations, and get back some content and some comment from Annie. Well, today she took a little bit different approach. So, in the spirit of continuing our conversation about the 4th of July, I thought I would read an article from Dear Annie, and her name is actually Annie Lane. And here's her column for today, Celebrating Freedom, Family, and Love this 4th of July. Dear readers, on this 4th of July, I hope you give yourself permission to slow down. Let the day be simple. Enjoy the sound of laughter from the next yard. Notice the flags moving in the breeze. Sit outside with a cold drink. Watch the children run through the grass. Stay up for the fireworks, even if you're tired. There is something about this holiday that brings us back to the things that matter most: freedom, family, friendship, and hope. We often think of freedom in big historic terms, and we should. We owe so much to the men and women who served, sacrificed, and helped build this country. But freedom also lives in the small moments. It is the freedom to call someone you love, to speak your mind, to choose a new path, to start over, to sit quietly and be exactly who you are. These moments may not seem grand, but they're precious. So today, do not worry about making everything perfect. The table does not have to look beautiful. The food does not have to be homemade. The family does not have to agree on everything. And the fireworks do not have to be seen from the best seat in the house. What matters is being present. Look around at the people beside you. Listen to their stories. Laugh when you can. Forgive a little faster. Put the phone down for a while. And if someone you know is alone today, reach out. A phone call can change the shape of a lonely afternoon. An extra chair can mean more than you realize. Kindness is one of the most beautiful ways we can celebrate freedom. Some of you may be carrying sadness this holiday. You may be missing someone. You may be worried about your family, your health, or the future. You may not feel much like celebrating. That's all right. You don't have to force joy. Sometimes peace is enough. Take a walk, listen to music, make yourself something good to eat, watch the sky. Let the day meet you where you are. Our country isn't perfect, neither are we. But there is still so much goodness around us. There are still people helping neighbors, caring for strangers, serving their communities, and choosing hope when it'd be easier to give up. That's worth celebrating. As the fireworks light up the night, I hope you remember that darkness never gets the final word. There's always another spark, another chance, another morning. May this 4th of July leave you feeling grateful, peaceful, and a little more hopeful than you did before. And may you remember that the best part of this country has always been its people. Happy 4th of July. Out of Bounds, Estrangement, Boundaries, and the Search for Forgiveness is out now. It's Annie Lane's third anthology, and it's for anyone who's lived with anger, estrangement, or a deep ache of wrongdoing. You can follow Annie on Instagram at Dear Annie Official, and send any questions you have to her at DearAnnie@creators.com. But I thought her column today has a beautiful sentiment to it, just to remind us all that peace comes in small spaces as well as big ones. Well, we have just a little bit of time left. Let's take a look at how Team USA is doing in the soccer championships. Team USA advances to the round of 16 to face Belgium. And this comes to us from Josh DeBoe from the Associated Press. Malik Tillman stepped up for a free kick with a bloody sock and a new right boot after being stepped on by an opponent as the United States scrambled to protect a one-goal lead down a man in the World Cup knockout round. Tillman delivered the goal of his life and one of the biggest ever by a U.S. man at the World Cup, sending this American soccer fairy tale into the round of 16. I've been dreaming about this game, Tillman said, after scoring the final goal in a 2-0 win over Bosnia-Herzegovina on Wednesday night. I've been dreaming about maybe taking a free kick and scoring a free kick. I've practiced this in training, and I think today I showed what I can do. The round of 32 win set up a Monday matchup in Seattle against Belgium, as the U.S. hopes to make a deep run on home soil. The Red Devils beat the Americans 2-1 in extra time at 2014 round of 16. It's about to keep dreaming, said U.S. coach Mauricio Pochettino, who belted out Take Me Home Country Roads as it played over the public address system after 10 minutes of stoppage time. In football, all is possible if you believe. And I think the game is on at 8 p.m. on Monday. You can double check me for that and find out how you can watch the U.S. in the round of 16. In our last few seconds together, let's take a peek at the weather. It looks like it's going to be in the mid to upper 80s for highs all week and a chance of showers almost every day. Monday, humid, a shower in the morning. Tuesday, a thunderstorm in the morning. Some rain and thunder on Wednesday. Everybody stay dry and safe. We'll get back together again soon. This has been Terry Burdick reading with you. Have a great week.